Part 1. Chapter 1. Eliza stared intently out the window, ignoring the argument taking place across from her in the carriage.
"But my dear," said Lady Malcolm, "how can you possibly desire our daughter to ally herself with an irreligious man? How can she ever trust his prudence, his honesty, or his morals?"
"Upon my word, Margaret," said Sir Arthur, with a glare of annoyance, "it's not as if the man is a confirmed libertine. So what if he does miss a Sunday service or two?
And I'm not asking her to accept his offer right away.
I'm simply asking her, and you, to keep an open mind on the matter."
Lady Malcolm sniffed. Eliza recognized it as the sniff of long-suffering, somewhere in between the sniff of bearing one another's burdens and the sniff of embracing one's calling to living martyrdom.
"Come now, Eliza," said Sir Arthur. "What have you to say on the matter?"
He drummed his fingers on his knee.
Eliza opened her mouth and then shut it again. She'd landed in the middle of her parents' quarrels before, and she knew better than to do so again. Although, in this case, she could hardly help but be in the middle of it. It was her future they were considering. Her marriage to Rufus Rowland, the Duke of Brockenhurst.
"Well?"
It had been a long carriage ride. It was a warm August day, but the dust from the road did not permit them to open the carriage windows. Sir Arthur's patience was wearing as thin as the auburn hair receding from his high forehead.
"I feel..." Eliza hesitated. "I feel I hardly know the man, Papa."
She glanced over to her mother and gained some courage.
"I've stood up with him at a few balls over the course of the season, and I spent one half-hour of awkward conversation with him at Almack's. But it was a complete surprise to me when you said he'd called and asked permission to pay me his addresses."
"And a complete surprise to me that you would say yes so readily," interjected Lady Malcolm, fixing her husband with a steely glare. Her own hair was far darker than Eliza's reddish-brown curls, but they shared the same deep green eyes.
"And why shouldn't I say yes?" Sir Arthur blustered.
He'd never been one to hesitate when a bird was in the hand, or in the bush, or in the tree, or over the hill. "He's a duke, Margaret, and it's not as if it's Eliza's first se—"
He caught himself abruptly, and an uncomfortable silence settled over the closed compartment. No, thought Eliza bitterly. It was not her first season. It was the end of her third, and still no matrimonial prospects on the horizon, other than this sudden and perplexing interest shown by the Duke of Brockenhurst.
"In any case," said Sir Arthur, "he's called upon us in Grosvenor Square."
"Twice," said Lady Malcolm acidly.
"And you'll have time to better your acquaintance during our stay at Harrowhaven, time to be certain before you make your decision."
Eliza felt a new wave of warm air turn her cheeks pink.
"Are you so sure, Papa, that he will even ask?"
How mortifying it would be to go to all this trouble to visit his country estate, and then discover that the Duke's intentions were not serious. She pulled out her fan and tried to drive away the heat.
"Of course he will. The man's smitten."
Sir Arthur's voice was much too loud for the smallness of the carriage. "And who wouldn't be?"
He gave his daughter an encouraging smile. Plenty of men, Eliza thought, unable to manage a smile in return. Every man who had danced with her during her first and second season, danced with her once and never approached again after a taste of her shy conversation. She moved her fan faster and began to breathe more quickly. Lady Malcolm emitted another principled sniff. Eliza laid down the fan. She would stay calm. She must stay calm. She touched the glass of the window pane, once more feigning preoccupation with the scenery. They'd entered a colonnade of tall oak trees lining the roadway, their full branches creating a screen that filtered the rays of the summer sun.
"Almost there now," said Sir Arthur.
Eliza was not sure whether to be glad or begin to cry.